Welcome to the HB5 podcast, where we talk about co-working, productivity, and building your future lifestyle. We've got a first episode here that we're kind of excited about, and we're going to kind of talk about what we're all about. In the studio today, we've got Dieter.
Hey, how's it going?
We've got Tecto.
Hey, hey.
And we've got Shrop. Hey, that's me.
Oh, that is you.
Interesting. So if you're listening, thank you for listening, first of all. We are figuring out our podcast rig and setup. We will gladly take suggestions and comments. Actually, no, do not comment on that. I'm just kidding. But we are figuring our setup out and figuring out all this in our first episode. But we hope to get right into some interesting topics. And so today we thought we'd talk about, why are we doing this? Who are we? What are we doing? Why are we here?
What's going on?
What is happening?
What's happening here?
And what's going on? I think we could start out first by talking a little bit about what we've recently launched at HB5, and that is our co-working facility.
HB5 Co-Work, aptly named.
So co-working, I'm going to kind of let Tecto talk about what co-working is to him.
Oh, really? I get to take this football?
I think you can take this.
All right. Co-working is where you stop thinking about work being a place and more about work being something that you do. And I think all three of us are way down this path, but had quite a bit of experience with the pain points that come from trying to do it at a coffee shop, or what should I say, do it, work at a coffee shop or home in a home office, et cetera. And challenges on either being lonely because you're kind of going stir crazy at home, or not being able to focus in a coffee shop. And that led to trying out co-work facilities and talking a lot about it. Some of the things in that mix are, obviously, if you're actually working on something like a product, software product, you might need to focus. And we ran into severe limitations with that in a number of coffee shops. Found at least one here in the Charlotte area that is open 24 hours a day. And
that was the Amelie's.
Yes.
Am I saying that correct?
Amelie's. Yeah.
Amelie's.
Yes.
Nice, but it's also packed full of distractions.
It's a lot of distraction, a lot of blenders, lot of blending.
A lot of scrambling for tables and spots that have power.
Yeah, a lot of no power zones. I think actually what happened, the story as I recall it, was I had a major point of frustration.
You do frustration well, yes.
Yeah, I had a major point of frustration. We had three, four of us had been working at Amelie's and various coffee shops for quite a while. And I was already having issues with my Mac. With Z Shell and some other things, and they were my issues. It really wasn't my Mac's fault, but anyway, it still was painful. I was already a little frustrated because of that, and then I realized that when I took my headphones off and I needed to actually talk to Dieter, talk to Tecto, what happened was we were yelling. We were having to scream at each other
pretty much
to be heard. And even though we like the vibe of the place for like hanging out and just chatting a little bit and drinking coffee.
It does have a nice vibe.
It does. It's a cool place. You should check it out if you're in the Charlotte area. But it's it was a bummer. It kind of frustrated me. And then we were checking out. I was actually doing some errands and stuff in downtown Concord, North Carolina, and saw a for rent sign and thought, because we'd already talked as a group, hey, wouldn't it be cool to have an office space somewhere?
Yeah.
And noticed this wasn't a strip mall.
And we looked around for a while, too. We were considering strip malls and considering...
Yeah, there's something soul-crushing about a strip mall in the middle of nowhere, though. And that was...
Yes. It would have been better than the frustrations that we were facing trying to actually be productive out of a Starbucks, I think. But I only marginally so.
I mean, I can work at a Starbucks still, but now with co-work in our facility, I feel like it has to be just a bridge, because that's the best I can do at that time.
Right,
right, right.
And I can do it for a short period of time, but if I'm solo and I'm not actually co-working, if I'm just plugging on headphones and can kind of tune everything out, then it's sort of okay for a bit. But, you know, you need a place with comfortable chairs. You need a place where I think you can walk out and, you know, take a nice stroll and just, you know, have some other amenities in the area. So,
and Concord is just kind of the archetypal small town downtown. It just feels like you'd imagine a small downtown to be.
Yep.
And so
little shops,
little restaurants, great little guitar shop. So when Schropp told us that he saw this for Ensign, we were both pretty excited. We were all pretty excited about it, and jumped at it.
Yeah, most definitely. So we're excited. We had a soft open towards the end of September and a grand opening where we're now taking payments for co-working, and that happened, November 14th?
November 14th,
Saturday. So that's a cool marker in time for us, and so definitely excited to be open. We've got so much more to do that we're excited about, but we have folks co-working now.
Mm-hmm. Paying customers.
Yes. It's a milestone.
Yep.
So Dieter, what's your takeaway on co-working? Like, what do you get out of it? What makes it special for you?
Just the social aspect of it, I think, is what's alluring. The fact that you can, the dynamics of it are great because you can walk around with a pair of headphones on and people know that you're focused and you're not really in a social mode, but you can take them off and interact with other coworkers, get some ideas if you're stuck somewhere on a particularly hard problem as a developer. That happens from time to time. You may find somebody willing to talk through it or maybe whiteboard it. And we've got lots of whiteboard.
Oh yeah.
And that's always exciting. And as a coworker, you can also be the person to help out other folks. And it's just kind of magic when it happens.
There's definitely an element of learning from just attempting to help somebody else. You begin to realize pieces that you hadn't integrated before. And that collaboration has been a huge thing here with 52 feet of whiteboard, kind of crazy.
Oh, so awesome.
It is really awesome to, I can't tell you how many times in the last few months I've seen somebody that's co-working here trying to place out before we had our grand opening, realize that they have an issue and they're trying to figure out how to deal with it. And they maybe grab someone to help them, or maybe they just themselves just solo, they go up to the whiteboard and they just grab a dry erase marker and go to it and start writing it. And it usually draws the interest of other coworkers.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, what's going on here?
You walk by, you're like, what's this about? What's happening here?
And then through that discussion, a lot of times other ideas come out, or at least sanity checks happen on what's going on with whatever they're trying to solve or work through.
That's really why co-work is so ideal for like freelancers and people that do work on their own, is that they don't get that dynamic. They don't have the ability to bounce ideas.
Right. It's not just the social isolation. It's not having anybody else's perspective on demand. And it's not like you can just destroy somebody else's productivity by kind of throwing your problem out to the world. But people have idle time. They're taking breaks, and they're not all taking synchronized breaks. So you start doing something on the whiteboard, and somebody's taking a break, and they look over and get interested, and you're open to collaboration, and they dive right in. And that serendipity is just a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. I think something that's really interesting is that co-working is something that is not as new as folks think it is. From a musician's standpoint, being a musician, Dieter, as you know, we're musicians. Alone, when you're alone, you may practice, you may, set up your gear, you may whatever. There's some things you can do, but the real yearning you have as a musician is to get together and play with other people.
Other people.
Right, that's like right. A jam session.
Yep. And if you don't do that occasionally,
so co-working is like an intellectual jam session?
Well, it depends on what you're doing. I mean, you could argue easily. So a number of us are developers. Dieter already mentioned that. Mm-hmm. But our co-work space is pretty flexible for about any person, any profession that needs to meet with people or needs to... Any freelancer, it doesn't really matter. Photographers, writers. We had somebody stop by recently, and they're a dog trainer and a service dog trainer. So, but they need to meet with clients, things like that. So, but you could almost say that every profession that I've seen come through the door represented in this facility has some type of artistic bend to it. There is a creative bend. There is a there is a portion of that that. They have to be creative, and that's where the co-working really plays in. And that's, Lennon McCartney. I mean, this is, you've got a lot of duos who wrote music, wrote songs, things like that. And that's why that happens. Because, yes, can they do it by themselves? Sure. But what happens when you put people together to work on something? That's right. When magic can happen. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So what do you say to a person who is maybe because of their employer stuck in an office? How do they find a way to work their way into an environment like co-work?
Oh, that's a tough question.
It's a real one, because I mean, we have people who come visit. They maybe check it out for an afternoon or a day, and they're interested, or they're even significantly impacted. But they walk away, and there's that it's not going to work for me because my employer will never support this.
There are so many blog posts and podcasts and just articles all over the internet about the benefits of co-working, and there are a few out there that talk about the drawbacks, and they're not.
Well, there are drawbacks, and a lot of that comes down to whether or not a given co-work facility or operation really walks the walk. I mean, I've encountered some co-work facilities where the quote-unquote operators come by once every 6 months or so, and the toilet plugs up, and people are trying to figure out who's going to fix it because they're just not on site. But
right.
You know, if you have operators that are co-working as well, that tends to be... Those issues tend to be things that get worked out on the fly, and they don't back up. Forgive the pun. That was unintended.
Yeah, but it was nice. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I think you nailed it there, guys. There's a lot of resources out there. I think having maybe management or other coworkers come by, visit, and talk about it, because I think that can alleviate a lot of the misperceptions of co-working, that it's a place to go hang out and they're, you know, you're not working, you're not getting things done. When folks show up, they realize that, number one, people are having fun. Yes, they're having fun. Hey, what is wrong with having fun while you work? Because, you know, we've got tons of articles that can back up the fact that when you're having fun, you're passionate about what you're doing, that you're going to actually get more done. You're going to be more productive. You're going to be willing to put in more effort. So bringing folks in to take tours is a big one. Educating.
So you're saying kind of like bring your employer in?
Sure. Bring your employer in. Have them look around. Have them come and co-work. Have them come co-work with you.
Yeah, have them come co-work. Well, so here's another objection that I've heard, and I think we can speak to it from experience somewhat. But, you know, there's the flip objection of, oh, okay, I bring my employer in, or I'm in here. And this is a distracting environment. And I've definitely had some pushback from people here and there where they kind of attempt to work and then walk away with a little bit of frustration on that score.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've got my own thoughts, but you know, before I dive in.
Oh, you can't just leave us hanging.
No, come on. Okay. Come on. Well, one of the issues I see is that people who have that response a lot of times are not familiar enough with a co-work environment. And some of that, I think maybe is because they've never tried to work in a coffee shop, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the dynamics around either location, a coffee shop or co-work, is that you have to accept that there's going to be a level of noise, and your management of the environment is a big piece of it. So in a coffee shop, it's almost overwhelming a lot of times because there isn't any thought towards productivity. It really is an environment oriented around, yes, creating a certain ambiance for atmosphere, but it's also creating an ambiance to move you along before you've occupied a table so long that, you know, you're causing problems for their revenue stream. So
their chairs are scientifically designed.
They will put your rear end to sleep. Yes.
Right.
So I think the difference in co-work, though, is that if you're in a coffee shop environment, you ideally have learned to manage the noise level with headphones and so on. In a co-work environment, you still need to do that when you truly need to focus, or you need to look for alternative locations. And we definitely have some of those, but there's got to be a certain level of, I guess, balancing the advantages of co-work in terms of serendipity of working with other people with your need to focus at a given point. And that's, you know, that's got to be addressed either by putting headphones on and giving that clear visual signal that I'm busy. So that brings the interruptions down, but also allows you to cancel out noise. Happen to have a new favorite pair of headphones that are incredible for that.
You're wearing right now.
I am wearing right now. I love them.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, obviously put on some music on top of that, and you know, I'm fairly in my world and able to focus for a period of time. And then, you know, the opposite of that is that I'm probably not going to focus for 5 hours or 4 hours straight because I need to take breaks. And I've learned that between eye strain and productivity loss of just staying on something too long, I need to break it up. So running something like Break Time on my Mac and stepping away I set mine for every 18 minutes. I take a 2 minute break, but you know, just go take a walk and I run into somebody else that's on a whiteboard. I might help them for a minute or two or something along those lines. But you know, then I'm back, I'm right back into another productive chunk if I need to be.
You know, circling back to making the case for people who aren't co-working or aren't remote working at all, like, it makes me think about the lone developer working for a company. Say you're the only developer working for your shop. Just having the ability to gain access to other developers.
That's huge.
That's huge. And you will, I think that if you are, if your employer is open-minded, they would be excited about giving you the opportunity to be able to interact with other developers.
So what if your employer is not open-minded?
Time to start looking for another job.
I like that. Yes, I would agree. And I think that's one of the shifts that's going to occur further on down this path, is that more and more people are going to say, look, you know, I can find another opportunity and I'm going to start looking.
Yep.
The quality of life of being able to not just, ideally, ultimately, everybody could set their own schedule, but, you know, there are jobs where that's not a reality, but at least being able to say, here's where I am most productive, and here's where actually I'm going to make the biggest difference for my employer in terms of getting my work done and doing it in a quality fashion and finding other people that I can collaborate with that can develop my skills and complement, you know, complement me when I'm blocked on an issue or whatever the case might be. And you know, if my employer is not willing to consider that, it is time to start looking for another job.
So this could be an entirely topic for another episode, but kind of just to introduce the concept here, another useful case for co-working in a situation where you have an employer who does not appreciate co-working, maybe your schedule, you know, maybe you're in manufacturing, maybe you have a manufacturing job and you want to get out of that job somehow. You want to find some new career. You maybe want to start a business. You've got a business idea. This happens all the time. And so what you could do is you could do your day job, continue having that income roll in, and you co-work in the evenings. You co-work on the weekends.
Absolutely.
So that gives you that capability to meet other people, still benefit from co-working. And as you build up the business, you get the income coming in, you start to transition out. I think most people would say, hey, don't go just in there and quit a job without any structure, without any support. And you know.
But this is back to the whole point of building your future lifestyle. There are opportunities in an environment like co-work to begin to put together not just, you know, what you could do, but even start to figure out what you would want to do and then collaborate with other people on those ideas and come to grips with, you know, I'd rather be a freelancer, or, you know, I don't want to be a freelancer. I'd like to be part of something that somebody else is leading, but, you know, I'd like to have some equity in it and I'd like to be able to contribute, and an accessible path for that where you can start to do it maybe in the evenings or the weekends and acquire some new skills and become part of a team or acquire some new skills and some new clients that you encounter in that environment. There's so much opportunity, especially as people are facing job security that just continues to fade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, addressing that proactively before you lose, you know, before that pink slip lands on your desk, so to speak, I think is another piece of what we see people really coming to grips with in terms of why co-work works for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the days of I'm going to work somewhere for 30 years and retire, those days are gone.
Oh, they're so gone.
So, yep. You know, I just don't think they're out there. And the other aspect of the evening is our meetup schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So we're launching a number of meetups, and a lot of co-working facilities run meetups and other events in the evening. So that's a great place, as Tecto was talking, to meet other people and learn those skills. Whether it's, you know, could be development, could be photography, could be small business marketing, could be you name it. We're fairly open to some meetup ideas here at HB5 Co-work.
We've got a few out of the gate. We've got,
yes, we do.
We've got our Meteor meetup where we talk about the Meteor framework, Meteor JavaScript framework.
Yep, pretty
excited
about that.
We've got a photo meetup about to start out that is going to be very exciting. I'm looking forward to that one a lot myself.
Yep, we've got a hands-on information security oriented meetup where we're going to be doing live hacking of everything from people's cars to network routers to breaking into your house or your business.
Is that one going to be for security wonks, or is it going to be for regular folks?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm sure it'll attract security wonks, but a big part of it is just starting to help people begin to have a security mindset. And, you know, the average layperson is not aware of how easily their smartphone can be hacked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's over 1 billion Android smartphones right now that cannot be updated and are remote remotely hackable. And a lot of people are getting exploited and have no idea until suddenly their identity is gone. Somebody's been raiding their bank account or cleaning out their charge card, et cetera. And the banks are doing a great job a lot of times on the credit cards now of pattern matching. But mm-hmm. you know, every single time you whack a mole, so to speak, it pops up in another place. And the information security exploits are definitely continuing to move and morph. And there's a need for people to take ownership of their own information security vulnerabilities.
At least just, be aware of where they're weak.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. So this is not at all oriented at information security professionals, though I expect we're going to draw quite a few. This is oriented at helping people who maybe have never even thought about information security before begin to understand how vulnerable they truly are. And in many cases, there are simple things they can do to lower that exposure window. And so that's everything, again, from what can you do to keep your car from being broken into? Because, you know, for instance, there's a $20 device right now. If you have an alarm system on your car, I can pop this device on your car, and the next time you disarm your car, it'll capture that code, and then your car won't disarm, and then you'll probably hit your button again to disarm, and it'll capture that one and replay the first one, and then suddenly it's got a buffer that at any point I can walk up to your car while you're away and tell it to replay the one it's got stashed, and I'm in your car. And it is impossible for you to prevent that. It is impossible for you to detect it. And it is in that context then something where if you go to your insurance provider or the police and say, well, somebody broke into my car, there's no trace. There's no indication that your car was in any way accessed inappropriately. And so you're trying to make a claim and it looks like...
So no insurance.
Right. You try to make a claim and it looks like nobody broke into your car.
Hmm. Well, that says a lot for old-fashioned keys. And just using old-fashioned keys on your door.
Yeah, but technology brings all these conveniences, and we love them, and then we don't think about the unintended consequences.
My last old-fashioned key car was broken into with a flat-headed screwdriver.
Yeah, yes. There is that. So I think
locks are technology too.
Yeah, physical security. It sounds like is going to be discussed quite a bit too at the
absolutely.
So we've got a number of meetups, and to the point that Dieter you were making. I think a lot of our meetups have a nice blend for beginners and some advanced topics too. So I can't say all the meetups will do this, but one format that we've landed on is to make sure that we do something for beginners and something for more advanced to keep interest across the board for folks.
And one of the ways that we kind of have been keeping our meetups sort of evergreen is something that Tecto developed. At one of the meetups that we run for Drupal, and that was to ask people in the group, "Hey, what are you interested in?"
Yes, people come to a meetup and they have some idea of what they want to learn. You know, in the Drupal context, a lot of times because the Drupal ecosystem is so huge and there's so much to learn, you know, somebody might be working on a website and they're just trying to figure out how to get their Twitter feed to show up on their website or whatever the case might be. But they come in and the presentation that night is not exactly what they need. You know, it might be related or it might be in some way a piece of what they're trying to do in another part of the site, but they have specific things they're looking for. And so they come in and they've got something that is topical to them, but we may have no presentation booked or even, you know, on our minds to book for that particular topic. And so, you know, putting it out there as a, what would you like to learn, definitely gets an engagement. From new people too. I mean, the first time somebody comes to a meetup, we ask that question, and it is almost inevitable that they've got something that they want to learn, even if it's just how do I install Drupal. And so, you know, the piece that we've been able to add because of that is that there's a very real benefit and a value to coming to meetups because you've got people in many cases with a lot of experience present, and even if they're not presenting that night, you know, whatever topic comes up, they may have a significant depth of knowledge, but you often have two or three people who are doing all the presentations, and that is just—it's just crushing. Mm-hmm. And trying to present every single month, or every other month, or every third month, after a while, people just—they want to quit. And so meetups tend to die after about 2 or 3 years because you know the topics that somebody can cover have kind of been exhausted, and their energy level is just sapped. And so you know the piece that finally fell together was people come in with an interest and they say, oh, I need to learn this. I want to learn that. You know, basically say, hey, look, you're benefiting from being part of this group. There's no way that this group can live, survive, and thrive unless people contribute. And so you want to learn about this. We need you to present on it. And there's a bucket of ice water in the face response a lot of times.
yep.
I can't present. You know, the reactions are phenomenal, but
I'm not an expert.
Exactly. And so there's
exactly.
Exactly. So there are two things out of that have been really interesting. One is that there's no way to learn something like trying to teach it. And mm-hmm. it's a cliched phrase, but you watch people with a presentation on the calendar, try to get ready for it, and they actually will dig in and they will learn everything they can. And then they'll get up and they'll present. Sometimes they're trembling that first time, but they'll get up and they'll share. And it's inevitably conversational because they don't know everything and they weren't able to put together a PowerPoint and hit, you know, the top 10 things you need to know about this or that or the other. So they get as far as they're able, and then the entire group will jump in and share. And people who wouldn't have been willing to put a presentation together because they've been doing it every month or every other month, but know all about that topic, will jump into the conversation, and the whole group will contribute to that person's knowledge base and the application of what they learned and so on. And it's just the most vibrant meetups we've had have been somebody who was a total novice and was scared to death of presenting, has showed up, has actually come back. And we've had a few people, you know, here and there, I think maybe two total now, that have gone on the calendar and actually never came back. But for mm-hmm. the most part, people take it seriously. They come back, they present everything they did learn, and they walk away with a gold mine of information and real input from the entire group on their topic.
And that just happens organically.
I mean, it does.
It's amazing.
It really is amazing.
So not only do they get their question answered almost always,
yes, very thoroughly,
they end up learning even more about that subject,
and the entire group learns yes. quite a bit, which yes. is totally awesome. Regardless of the meetup and how expert or non-expert I feel about the subject matter, I have learned something, even if it's a small thing. I've learned something at every one of these meetups, and it's usually the ones where someone comes in, they don't know everything, but the rest of the group chimes in, because all these topics we're talking about, nobody knows it all. Nobody knows everything. Yep. So you're going to learn something. That's why it's great to bring people together in the evenings for these meetups and check them out. I think we have to wrap things up, but for this episode, I did want to mention that HB5 is definitely involved with other things, other concepts, other
projects.
I think we'll save some of that for upcoming episodes, so stay tuned for that. And this is a weekly podcast, the HB5 podcast, and we will try to consistently release on a Monday is our goal now, so we'll be releasing these on Mondays.
Now we said it, so we've got to do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I think we'll get this one out.
We're committed.
Yep.
Out tomorrow. We try to record on Sundays and release on Mondays, and we'll see how that goes. So I'd like to thank Dieter and Tecto for being here today and talking with us. We'll have other hosts coming in rotation. So different folks involved with HP5. We'll probably have some interviews coming up and some other exciting news. But stay tuned to all the HP5 social media blogs and things like that for the latest news on that. So this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
Is this the terminus?
This is the terminus.
This will be
we've reached the terminus of the podcast.
This is definitely the terminus. All right, guys.
We'll catch you next time.
See ya. Shroplet rain.
Shroplet rain.